AccuWeather forecast, going to be cloudy and breezy with occasional rain today, high of about 54 degrees. On a 5-3 vote last night, the Racine Unified School Board backed the employee handbook changes proposed by administration, despite members of the Teachers Association claiming a decade of improved relations is going to disappear. Teacher Matt Landry said Racine Unified's top three entities for positive change are just not working together.
I'm afraid that we are going to fail at whatever we try if we don't work together. I'm really afraid of that. And I don't want to fail. I want to be a winner. I want our district to be a winner. I want our kids to be winners. And the other thing that I'm afraid of, and actually more afraid of that, is that I'm afraid tonight might potentially drive a wedge between us and make the teachers and all of you further apart than we ever have been before.
Board member Dennis Weiser noted the district's reserve fund has grown considerably in the 5 years since Act 10 came around.
Our reserve fund has grown by about $20 million, and the total benefits paid out to our employees has decreased by about $20 million. We have to stop funding things by taking benefits away from our employees. There is no future for any business on the planet doing that. It's going to damage morale. It's going to make this place unattractive.
The final vote came for the handbook changes after a 10-minute recess, Board President Melvin Hargrove citing a disruptive behavior by many of the teachers in the audience. Police were at last night's meeting. Coming up this morning outside of City Hall in Milwaukee, a coalition of community leaders gathering to announce a boycott of holiday spending in response to their claims of police brutality, racist attacks, and economic injustice. The local organizing committee for Justice or Else is going to launch this campaign November the 27th on Black Friday until after New Year's Day. Coalition also seeking to highlight issues related to Latinos, Native Americans, and the poor. A two-vehicle crash in the western Racine County intersection of Highways 11 and J in Burlington sends both drivers to Frederick Hospital. The Sheriff's Department says there were some serious injuries, a grain truck and trailer colliding with a pickup truck. The initial investigation had the pickup driver running a stop sign, moving into the path of that grain truck. Driver of the grain truck taken by ambulance to the hospital. Flight for Life took the pickup operator. Highway 11 closed to traffic for a few hours. And the Kenosha man accused of stabbing to death another man at an assisted living facility will have a mental health evaluation. 65-year-old Marcel Kudzin accused of stabbing James Nelson multiple times after he intervened in a physical confrontation between Kudzin and a woman, apparently over the color of her hair. All three residents of St. James Manor in downtown Kenosha. Kudzin's going to be back in court December 1st, a hearing on whether he is mentally competent to assist in his trial defense. The Racine Unified School Board backs a boundary change for Gifford School as a K-8 facility starting in 2016-17 using the same criteria placed with the existing elementary school to cover the middle school section, which is now under construction. Claiming she understands the split by some on this issue, Julie McKenna supported the move but said it's not really a win-win outcome.
I feel for the neighborhood students that are there, and if they're wanting to be there until their eighth grade, then I can understand that, but it's also disheartening for some of them to, if that were to change, to be isolated out. I also understand there is a loss, however, that the diversity in the other schools would also change.
Superintendent Lolly Haas explained it's a time-sensitive issue because of future planning efforts.
We are starting in December. We always start our staffing and determining how many teachers we need to hire. So if we don't know boundaries and which students, you know, are likely to go to which schools, then it's very difficult to determine how many teachers we need to plan for in certain schools versus other schools.
Dennis Weiser abstained from voting on the boundary change at Gifford. The remaining board members supported it. Johnson Controls closing the Milwaukee Business Center next year. That will eliminate 277 jobs. The layoffs begin in January. They'll continue through the end of next June, all part of the company's plans announced in September to trim 2.5% of its global workforce. And a man accused of driving to Quarry Lake Park in Mount Pleasant while drunk facing his sixth OWI charge. A witness calling police said she had followed 53-year-old Stephen Drews to the park before she knew he'd been drinking. Court documents had Drews admitting to Mount Pleasant police that he had been drinking during Sunday's Packers game before taking his dog to that location. Drews will be back in court next week. Our AccuWeather forecast, cloudy, windy, periods of rain, high around 54. The Sturtevant Village Board meeting tonight is about the numbers for the 2016 budget and the cost of train depot parking passes. The budget process for Sturtevant is winding down tonight with a resolution from its Finance and Budgetary Committee recommending final adoption, along with authorizing fees and setting the tax levy. That same panel supporting fees for both annual and semi-annual passes in the depot lot, an issue that was discussed last week. The City Council in Kenosha last night deciding not to enforce a provision added to the state budget affecting only Kenosha County, requiring the Kenosha Water Utility to make water and sewer connections where adjoining municipalities demand them, not where the utility recommends they go. Water Utility GM Ed St. Peter telling the alderman his department does have a long-range plan for water and sewer services, and there are boundary agreements with Summers, Pleasant Prairie, and Bristol. But the state law would let these municipalities ignore the agreements. He says the charter ordinance before them evokes the home rule provisions in the state constitution.
There's a law that allows us to do this, that because it's not statewide, that we can say we don't want to follow that state statute.
Alderman David Bogdala, in support of the ordinance to oppose the state law, said he, quote, smells a lawsuit, unquote, coming in the future. The ordinance was adopted unanimously. Pleasant Prairie Village Board members last night approving a 2016 general fund budget. It increases the levy to $11 million from this year's $10 million, in part because of 3.9% growth in new construction over last year. Administrator Mike Polikoff says the mill rate will change from $4.42 to $4.64 per thousand. That'll create a $42 increase on a median-priced home to a total tax for the village of $889. Next year's Pleasant Prairie budget does include $1.6 million for road paving and improvements. That's nearly 60% more than this year. Don't be surprised if there's at least one last-minute attempt to amend the proposed 2016 City of Racine budget tonight in the meeting of the Common Council. Committee of the Whole discussion last week was to include all proposed amendments in writing. Alderman Sandy Widener suggested that she had a few concerns regarding capital improvement items, but had nothing documented, so those concerns never got mentioned. Final passage of the spending plan, with an increase going to pay down debt, will lead to the tax bills generated in about a month. The proposed Racine budget does include sidewalk maintenance shifted over to capital borrowing and a move to trash collection carts. A discussion about the possible creation of a redevelopment district on Durand Avenue in Sturtevant began last night, a public meeting attended by about 20 village residents and business owners. The tax incremental district that covers Renaissance Business Park is going to close next year, and Village President Steve Jansen says it's time to start looking ahead to other projects. Calls the Durand corridor tired and in need of help at Sturtevant's Main Street, but he noted there are some challenges.
Got some DOT restrictions and things like that, but the access and things of that nature that we've got to work through. But, you know, we've got some good starting points to work off of and draw off of and as we move forward into the years to come.
Some of the comments from the audience: there's only one controlled intersection safe for pedestrians to cross Durand. Also, the traffic backing up when the trains are passing through the village on the Canadian Pacific tracks. There was no public comment last night, so there was no problem for the Caledonia Village Board to approve the budget for next year. It includes a 1.55% levy increase and an 8-cent rise in the tax rate. For the owner of a $150,000 home, village taxes will be going up $12. Also as expected, the village board approved a 4-year contract for the collection of recyclables using carts versus bins through John's Disposal Service at a cost to citizens of $6 a year. The former Elks Club building and project in Kenosha getting another extension last night with the City Council, Gorman and Company piecing together a funding package which has taken a little bit longer than expected. Mayor Keith Bosman thinks this project is close to becoming a reality and just a few more financial pieces need to fall into place. He thinks that could happen by the end of March.
The developer is still intent on following through on this. They are confident that they can do this project, but we got to get all these financing pieces put together, and it's kind of stopped and started a few times as things have come and gone.
The contract extension is through the end of next June. The company trying to restore the downtown landmark, converting it into a boutique hotel. The process, again, a little longer than expected. Common Council agenda tonight in Burlington includes the 2016 budget, bonding for a tax incremental district project, and internet streaming of meetings. The budget gets a public hearing. That'll be followed up later by a final vote. There's a resolution to apply for the State Public Service Commission's authority to increase water rates. Also up to $450,000 in bonding connects to a project in TIF District No. 5. And Burlington Alderman being asked to consider a company for the web streaming of council meetings plus agenda software management. Oh, speaking of Burlington, native Tony Romo going to be back to the Dallas Cowboys in the starting lineup this coming Sunday at Miami. He's been cleared to practice after recovering from that broken collarbone. He'll play for the first time since Week 2. 35-year-old Romo led the Cowboys out of the gate to a 2-0 record, then he got hurt. Without him, the boys are 0-7. And a decision announced today affecting folks in southeast Wisconsin and the rest of the country, the Education Management Corporation, returning nearly $100 million in student loans after being sued for massive recruiting fraud.
EDMC operates chains of schools around the country under the brand names Argosy University, the Art Institutes, Brown-Mackey College, and South University.
U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says the for-profit EDMC broke recruiting rules governing federal student aid. AccuWeather forecast. It'll be cloudy and breezy with periods of rain. High this afternoon, 54. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.